Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? What? I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Pipes is writing down a lot of stuff. I'm just going to go from the gut.
I'm going to sell you on a guy that I already know you're not buying. All the deep dives.
Caillou, the kid that whined. I'm going to be frank. Sometimes I want a Clifford and Bear in the Big Blue House to go over and just knock him around.
I think they will win. They're back at home.
I'm going to go off here.
Hans, come in here like hooking the eye.
I literally just create madness. I put a packet of mild sauce.
The one Taco Bell packet was a little...
That was strange.
I don't know. Their secondary grades out is the worst. High scoring. Take the over. Ye who had injury. Ye who had.
King Derek the fifth.
Is it better to have two defensive coordinators or none?
Or none.
They have two as brother. It's easier than to pronounce. Yeah.
This song I really dislike.
Hans. Trevor's on fire right now. You got to be a trendsetter. 14 team, all heavy favorite. How dumb am I for doing that?
Yeah, you're dumb.
Oh, yeah. I texted you yesterday, Trevor, you and Derek, and I said, well, guys, I needed four more yards out of Alex Collins to hammer a 10-leg parlay. 4 yards? That's it, Trevor. 4 yards.
Sounds about right.
To, honestly, for 10 bucks to wrap up my biggest wager ever, and Alex Collins didn't get 4 extra yards. I mean, I had a James Conner touchdown. I had a Zach Ertz touchdown. I had A.J. Green. I had Ty Lockett doing things because he always does against Arizona. How about my Cardinals 9-2? Won two games without.
Yeah.
Two out of three with Kyler.
With Colt McCoy.
Colt looked really good yesterday. Threw for 300 plus, two touchdowns. Pretty impressive. So
I needed, I believe it was 5 more rushing yards from Justin Fields to hit, and he got hurt.
And he got hurt.
And left. Otherwise, he would have gotten it. So, I mean, they're endless, but very annoying nonetheless.
They're endless. All right, good stuff with Jay Layman, the Jay Layman Hour. We always enjoy doing that. I know we'll for sure do it next week. Are we doing that in 2 weeks?
Jay?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going through the end of the college football playoff, more or less.
Oh, are we really?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, that's awesome news. Okay, so we'll get Jay in here every Monday and continue to do that. Coming up bottom of the hour, Brett Bielema spoke today to the media. Some good stuff that he was talking about, hoping he gets back by Friday from his COVID issue to where he could actually be on the field Saturday when Illinois hosts Northwestern. But there is a bigger pressing thing to chat about right now, Trevor, and that's that the Fighting Illini basketball team takes the court in about 23 minutes, and one particular gentleman is back tonight. That would be Kofi. What are you expecting out of Kofi Coburn tonight?
I mean, same old, right?
Right.
I'm
20
not,
and 10?
Yeah, that feels like, I think he averaged 18 and 8
mm-hmm.
a game, more or less.
18 and 9, I think?
18 and 9, yep. Something like that. I'm not worried about rust. I'm not worried about, I mean, from what we've heard, and Derek and I played the audio of this last week, and you missed it, but it was funny. Underwood said that he's running a game on the treadmill like every other day during this suspension.
Really?
And they're like, simulating it as if it were a game.
So he stops?
So they make him stop for media timeouts, and they have him yell out.
That's what I need to do.
Right. They have him yell out plays and stuff, and then he gets back on and runs.
Oh, that's cool.
So in terms of just the physical side of the conditioning and everything, I mean, look, this guy's a monster.
He is.
He's an All-American. I'm not concerned that he's going to come out and look tentative or scared off, especially against a Cincinnati team that doesn't feature a ton of size.
Mm-mm.
They have one guy who's 6'11", but that's it. Everyone else is 6 foot, 6'7", 6'4", 6 foot, 6 foot, 6'2".
Wow.
I'm not worried necessarily about this game. KenPom ranks Cincinnati 96th.
Yeah. What, 11, 12-point favorite?
Yep, 12-point favorite on KenPom. You're fifth, they're 96th.
Okay.
Now, to be fair, I just said that about Marquette.
Yeah.
We all know what happened there because you were fifth and they were 88th. I think the differentiating factor, at least in my opinion tonight, is that Cincinnati doesn't really have one specific, I don't know what you'd call it, like attack method that they do really well, like Marquette did, right?
Right.
You always get kind of worried when you play a team that has a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've always said I want to avoid teams in the NCAA tournament that have a thing.
That's a great point.
Whether it's the one white guy whose name is Schmerkenstirk, who's is like 9 for 10
from three. Never misses from the 3-point line.
Whatever it may be. You know, Marquette's thing is the havoc defense pressure. Cincinnati doesn't have a thing.
Mm-mm.
Right? So they're ranked similarly to Marquette in terms of the KenPom number, although now they're not because Marquette is 5-1 and it has looked pretty good.
Yeah, they have.
But Cincinnati doesn't have one go-to thing. They don't pressure you full court. They don't have one guy who's going to maybe take over the game and score 35. They don't have a big guy who's 7'6" or something. They don't have one thing that's going to potentially throw everything into chaos for you. They're just an okay to not that great basketball team.
Yeah.
So far, they've beat Evansville, Alabama, A&M. They beat
Georgia's their best.
They beat
right?
Georgia by 5 at their home court. Georgia's ranked in the 160s in basketball. Yeah. They're too worried about football anyway.
You're right. They don't. They don't even know basketball started.
poor Tom Crean. But in any case. I don't really think Cincinnati's that great. You're getting Kofi back. I expect a good game out of him. I'm not sitting here going, this is a trap scenario for Illinois.
No, I agree with you with everything you just said. And, you know, I told someone the other day, they were like, well, is Illinois, are they going to be as good as we think? And I'm like, well, first of all, you were without Kofi Coburn in the game against Marquette. You don't lose that if he's playing. And number two, Andre Curbelo had the worst game of his career, probably ever. I mean, I'm dating all the way back to third grade. I'm guessing that was the worst game he's ever had in his career. And those two things happened, and you only lost by a point on the road against a pretty good Marquette team that's 5-1, as you said.
They're better than I thought they were going to be.
I agree.
One of my biggest frustrations after the loss was Marquette's going to stink.
Yeah.
And this is going to be a bad loss. Well, they went on to beat West Virginia, who was ranked. And I know they lost to St. Bonaventure last night in the title of whatever tournament game they were playing. But, I mean, they're not a pushover.
No.
So maybe if that's a team that ends up being, I don't know, the first four or like an 8-9 seed or something like that, that seems kind of high still for them.
Yeah, but that's fair.
Looking back on it, I guess I'm less upset than what I was, the night of and the day after, because now you look at it and you go, 1-point loss to a maybe tournament team on the road without Kofi. It feels more explainable.
It does.
Than it did initially.
And you don't like it. You don't losing a non-conference
especially
game.
The way you lost.
Correct. When you are favored against Marquette and certainly didn't want that to happen. I don't know. I think it's overused in radio, and I even said it myself last week, that maybe that was a game that Illinois needed to lose. Because it seemed like early on, there was a whole lot of, you know, they thought they were pretty stinking good and doing some crazy stuff. And I'm like, well, you are good, but, you know, I don't know that we need to come out like we are, but that's probably more of a worry on my end. It doesn't matter.
I get it.
I like when teams are confident. I do like that. I think there's a little difference between confidence and just being, you know, kind of over the top, if you will. So, look, it happened. And I guarantee you nobody enjoyed this past week more than Brad Underwood when it came to basketball practice. I'm sure he could not wait to get to practice and say, all right, remember what I've been telling you about this? Well, it happened. So now we got to get back together. But look, this is a good, I think this is where Illinois is going to beat Cincinnati tonight. Then you're going to set yourself up against a team, Arkansas, that is ranked either one spot or one ahead or below you, I think, in the AP top 25. I think Illinois dropped to 14. I think Arkansas is 13.
Yep.
So, you know, this is, that'll make for a fun game tomorrow night. In the Hall of Fame Classic Championship game. So,
assuming they get by the Fighting Bruce Webbers
and
Mark Smith tonight.
Oh, boy.
After Illinois' game.
Well, listen, if Kansas State wants to go ahead and upset Arkansas and that's who you're playing, then whatever.
Somehow I like that less, though.
Yeah, I do, too.
Playing Bruce Weber and Mark Smith, it feels weirder than just playing Arkansas.
I agree. And if you that loss to Marquette, you almost need a big win now, right? I mean, you kind of
I think get it out of your
system.
I think they need to make a statement tonight, honestly. And I'm not saying this is like...
Tonight and tomorrow.
Sure. And I'm not calling it a must win.
No.
It feels like it because it would be really bad if you lost again, obviously. But I think they need to come out and be like...
Yes.
That was the blip on the radar. We've had a week to sit on it. We've had a week to think about it. We've also got our best player back in the fold.
Exactly.
I would be somewhat concerned if we walk away from this game going, well, Trent Frazier hit a three to win the game right at the end. Like, I don't want that.
That's fair.
KenPom's calling for like a 78-60 win.
Okay.
I need that to feel like we're back to where we were prior to that game last week.
I'm in. I'm in on that as well. All right, Brad Underwood has some pre-Cincinnati audio. He met with the media this week. We're going to listen to that when we come back. You'll hear from Brad. We'll just go right into Brad as we lead you up to the game. The game tips off, what, 5:30 It's never that easy. 534 or something?
Probably
crazy,
something like that. Something on ESPN News.
News.
So if anyone's looking for it, it's on like the...
I think it's 208 DirecTV.
The weird alternate ESPN channel.
140-something on Dish, I believe. So when we come back, we'll do that. I want to let you know that this hour is brought to you by Game Day Spirit. Two locations, one on Neal Street, one on Green Street. You know where they're at. If you're looking, and most of us have an Illini fan in our family, if you're looking for Christmas gifts, especially guys, when we don't know what to buy, let's be honest, that is the perfect thing. You can't go wrong with getting some Illini gear. I know I got an Illinois football hoodie. Well, it's not Illinois football hoodie. It's just a hoodie. It just has Illinois on it, an orange one. My entire life, I've never had an orange Illinois hoodie. I've had blue, but I was like, why do I not have that? That should be in everybody's closet.
Yeah.
So now it's in mine. And I love it because it's gotten me through a few tailgates.
They've
this
got their
well.
Stadium sale, too.
Oh, that's right.
Coming up in a few weeks here.
Okay. Well, and those are always a great way to get some nice deals through Game Day Spirit. So we're going to hear from them right now. And when we come back, you'll hear from Brad Underwood getting ready for Illinois and Cincinnati tonight. It is The Drive. College basketball season is finally here. Gear up to support your Fighting Illini basketball team at the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, Game Day Spirit. From basketball jerseys to t-shirts and NIL merchandise, Game Day Spirit is the one-stop shop for all Illini basketball fans this season. Shop with them in-store in Champaign at the corner of Neal and Kirby, in Campus Town at the corner of 6th and Green, or online at GameDaySpirit.com. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
It's Black November at Dick Van Dyke Appliance World.
You'd better think of something amazing. Our customers want great deals.
I have an idea. An idea that will change mankind as we know it. When I snap my fingers, half of all the appliances in the store will go on sale. The universe will never be the same.
Honey, look, I was standing here 1 second and the appliance was full price. Now it's on sale. Out of nowhere.
Look over here. All these appliances have a free extended protection plan.
Hey, over here, interest-free financing until 2023 just showed up.
All of our customers will experience the best shopping season ever at Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. It's my master plan.
Dennis, are you all right?
Never been better. It's the Dick Van Dyke Appliance World Black November Sale. And with a snap of my fingers, nearly half our inventory has been marked down. It's the best deal in the galaxy. Wow.
Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
This is Steve from Good Vibes. This month, Good Vibes turns 50, so of course we're having a sale all month long. We opened in 1971, same year Denon began making hi-fi gear. Denon has a lot of firsts, like the first digital recording or the first LP sold in Japan. Today, they're first in receivers capable of streaming Wi-Fi like Pandora, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and of course Bluetooth from your phone. We go back decades with Denon and expect many more, and now you could win a fantastic 7-channel Dolby Atmos streaming receiver and a $400 Denon turntable as part of our 50th anniversary sale by making a small contribution to a deserving local charity. Because of our long run in Central Illinois, we're giving back to the community by partnering with Denon to help some folks who need it most right here in Champaign-Urbana. Come to Good Vibes and donate just $20 to your choice of Daily Bread Soup Kitchen, Empty Tomb, or See You at Home, and you could win big while helping someone local who really needs it. Details on gvibes.com and Facebook.
Here's what people are saying about PDR Automotive in Urbana. The following reviews are from actual customers in the last 5 months. They were kind and helpful. They offered a very thorough evaluation. Their staff was friendly and attentive. They were quick, reasonably priced, and kept me informed during the process. They did a great job with what I requested. They were very professional, and it was a great overall experience. If you're looking for an honest automobile mechanic that will fix your car the first time, visit PDR Automotive on Cunningham Avenue in Urbana.
I've got to clean out this garage. Let's see. What's the cheapest and easiest dumpster service in our area?
Here's what I found. The doggy bag.
Think she's broken. I'm not looking for takeout. Siri, try again.
The doggy bag from Bulldog Disposal in Muhammad.
Doggy bag? What's that?
If you got junk that needs to go, but you don't want the hassle of having an enormous dumpster delivered, grab a doggy bag. Keep it as long as you need. They'll come take it away. For more information, just visit BulldoggyBag.com.
That's BulldoggyBag.com.
Have you heard about Country Squire Cleaners Wash and Dry Club? Every week, Country Squire will come to your home in Champaign, Urbana, Savoy, or Mahomet and pick up your laundry. Then, within 3 days, they'll deliver all your clean and folded laundry back to your home. $25 a week for 25 pounds. Join the Wash and Dry Club and save time and money. Call 217-356-9422 for more information or visit them online, CountrySquireCleaners.com.
The Black Friday deals are starting now at Neverman Floor Artisans. Create the warmth in your home you've always dreamed of. Shop area rugs, hoofs, floor pillows, and more from leading designer brands at unbeatable prices. And this week, take an additional 20% off. Neverman Floor Artisans, area rugs, hoofs, floor pillows, all 20% off. And with your purchase, you'll be entered to win a huge basket or 22 by 34 kitchen rug. Shop local 9 miles south of Champaign off Route 45 in Tolono. NevermanFloorArtisans.com.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Georgia B and Stevie J broadcasting, and you are listening to the amazing ESPN Radio 93.5.
Well, we're excited to be a part of a very, very special event. The Hall of Fame Classic is an elite event. It's in a basketball city. Kansas City is one of the elite basketball towns in the country. Obviously, in here at T-Mobile, downtown Kansas City. Great field with Kansas State, Arkansas, and Cincinnati. Our opponent tomorrow. All draw. Should be an exciting week, early week, a couple of games. And we're excited to be a part of it. It always means a great deal as a fan of basketball when you're a part of an event that has Hall of Fame in it. So we're excited. We're looking forward to it. Got a great opponent in Cincinnati, a team that plays and mirrors us in a lot of ways. You start looking at all the national statistics, and they're a team that West has got playing extremely hard. They're guarding, they're rebounding, and they match up number-wise very close to where we are. And so it's we know we're going to have to play well. We know we're going to have to play extremely hard. The Davenport kid is a terrific player. West has got tremendous depth playing 10 or 11 guys. They've got a lot of size. They're one of the leading shot-blocking teams in the country. With all that size, and we're going to have to execute on the offensive end, and nothing's going to come easy. They're very, very aggressive. They mix up their ball screen coverages, so you know we'll have to be better than we were in our last game against Marquette.
Hey, Coach. Obviously, Kofi Coburn is back, huge for you guys. How's he looked in practice? And I know he's going to be really amped up for this game. What are some keys for him, you know, in his first game?
Well, I think one is understanding he's got to let the game come to him. I mean, there's no doubt he's going to be amped up and excited. And you know, Kofi gives you a breath of confidence, an air about him. He's been dominant in practice. He's been terrific. I think he's excited to go out and show everybody that he's worthy of a lot of the preseason hype. But he's a difference maker. We've had guys guarding him that I thought have done a great job, and he's continued to evolve his game and grow. And we'll have to watch, you know, conditioning early, and there's nothing like the adrenaline of a game and the emotions of a game when you haven't played in them for a while, and they can take their toll. So we'll watch that early. But I know he's excited to be out there, and we're excited to have it.
You mentioned some of the things about Cincinnati. For those of us who haven't seen him play yet this year, what do you think some keys are for you guys to come away with a win?
Well, we got to handle the pressure. I mean, they throw a lot of pressure at you. They get in the passing lanes. They throw multiple ball screen coverages at you based on personnel. They have four centers all different. And they adjust their ball screen coverages according to who they have in. So we've got to be very dialed in. We can't just be plain Jane, so to speak, on the offensive end. We've got to know what their ball screen coverages are based on who they've got in. So, and then we got to rebound. We're number two in the country in rebounding. And that'll be a great task tomorrow on both ends of the court against this team, because they're very active on the glass as well.
Hey, Brad, I'm just wondering, what was the impact of not having Kofi for three games on your team, for better, for worse, do you think, in the long run?
Well, I think that, we lost a game that we shouldn't have lost, and I don't think we lose that game if we have him. But I think that it's always unsettling. You know, it's unsettling as a coach when you don't have all your guys and you want to start identifying roles. And that's what this team has to get back to now with Kofi. And we know Kofi's going to be a focal point, as is every other team's approach to trying to stop him. So we've got to keep growing in that area, Jeremy. And that's one of the things that's been tough. I think we'll see as we go forward that we'll settle in and hopefully we can put a long stretch together here where we have all of our guys.
What do you think it'll mean for all your other guys to have the gravity of Kofi on the floor in the post?
Well, I know with me, it would give me a ton of confidence knowing that big fellow's in there and we can throw him the ball. And there's probably 9 or 10 fouls a game. There's 5 or 6 dunks, we can't not do the things we've been doing that's made us successful because we think, well, Kofi's back. We've got to keep taking this to the next level. And that's one of the things we've talked about. We got to watch out for
things that you might be able to do Monday offensively, defensively, with Kofi that either you couldn't the last three games or maybe didn't do as well, as you would have if you would have been on the court.
Yeah, I mean, when you've got the top of the opponent's scouting report is 7'3", 300 pounds, teams are going to play differently than what they are without him. And there's no doubt. I mean, he demands attention. You know, he's the number one roller in college basketball last year. He was number one in point to post, front of the rim, guy in the country. You're either going to let him have that, you're going to foul him, or you're going to do everything you can to take him away. And we saw little glimpses of that in exhibition games. So his attention and the attention that he does impacts opponents probably more than it does us. And then we can play, according to what their scout is.
With Hutch, he went through shoot around before Arkansas State, had kind of a pregame workout before Marquette. Where's he maybe on that road back?
Yeah, he's been on a minute restriction for a few days this week, early in the week, and then came back yesterday in practice in uniform. So he'll be in uniform tomorrow. We'll see what that looks like. In terms of his playing, but he has looked very healthy and very good.
How did you see Kofi handle this? I mean, he's a guy who obviously likes to play basketball, right? Like, how did he handle three games not being on the floor?
Like an unbelievable teammate. He was a guy that accepted the consequences. He never pouted. He never, said, I'm, this isn't right. He never was that way. He was the guy that, okay, let's move forward. How can I help? And whether that was in practice on the scout team, whether that was on the bench being a cheerleader. In the meantime, he just kept grinding and working for those, 2-3 weeks, whatever that was. Now he's, he's back. So I think it kept him in a great place mentally, just being involved as he's been.
What emotions come up for you if you were to face Kansas State on Tuesday? What comes up for you facing your alma mater and your relationship with Bruce Weber? What's that like?
Yeah, Bruce and I have a great relationship. When he got the job, Bruce talked to me about staying. And staying on, I chose to go stay with Frank, when I didn't get the job and they hired Bruce but I've been extremely proud of my alma mater since Bruce has been there. And I think everybody has a certain love of a place they have sweat equity and played. And,
And then I was fortunate to get back there and work as an assistant. Once the game goes up, once the ball goes up, if we play them, it's just another game, with another coach and a different jersey. And, you try to win that game. So, once the game gets going, it's no big deal, but, Bruce was loved by the Illini Nation. He did great things when he was here, and it's a unique set of circumstances where he was here and I was there, and if we happen to play. But we're both to a point in an age where it's all about the game and the players in the game.
There you go. That is Brad Underwood, Illinois basketball coach. The Illini set to tip it off right now against Cincinnati. When we come back, Brett Bielema spoke with the media today. We'll hear from the Illini football coach next. It is The Drive.
If your car breaks down or needs to be repaired, trust the experts at Beaumont Alignment Plus to step up. For routine maintenance like tune-ups, oil changes, brakes, or tires, you can count on Beaumont. They'll also service bigger issues like alignment, suspension work, starters, or transmission problems. So get to know Beaumont Alignment Plus for all your vehicle repairs. With locations on Bloomington Road and Denison Drive in Champaign, you're never far from the help you need. You can trust the dedicated, family-owned team of professionals at Beaumont Alignment Plus. Online at BeaumontAlignment.com.
I'm Ben Quattrone, owner-operator at Sarah Champagne. I enjoy a good game like anyone else, but not when I'm buying a car. At Sarah Champagne, located in Savoy, we've got multiple franchises, and we're transparent, no haggle, no BS, no hassle, and our price is generally lower than anywhere else you'll find. We've always got 30 cars under $10,000. We have luxury models, too. We do business a little differently at Sarah Champagne. Most of our customers really appreciate it. Visit SarahChampagne.com, SarahChampagne.com, and look at 500 cars.
Kelsey Furniture in downtown Tuscola sells Tempur-Pedic beds. What's it like?
I'm going to tell you right now, Stevie, that thing is the best thing I've ever slept on in my life. My wife and I both have said we've never had better night's sleep. And the people at Kelsey's were fantastic. Brian is the guy that helped us. You know, as much as I did my research, he has a world of knowledge about beds themselves. Oh, man, it's like sleeping on a cloud, man.
Kelsey Furniture, downtown Tuscola.
This is Dr. Margaret Tate with OSF Healthcare at Family Medicine in Champaign. Just want to remind everybody to keep up with your yearly physicals. This is a time for you to sit down with your doctor and talk about all of the preventative healthcare measures that we have available for you. With the pandemic, we realize that people have been putting off getting their physicals, but we want to stress the importance of getting them done. When you get your physical and catch up to date with all of your healthcare screenings, it helps us identify issues before something serious occurs. So it seems counterintuitive to go to the doctor when you feel well, but it's important for us to get to know you as you're well so that we can recognize serious symptoms when you come in for your sick visits. It can be dangerous to put off your physical because early detection for certain cancers is key to some tips for going to your physical. Write down what questions you have. Bring someone with you. A lot of times doctors are giving you a lot of information all at once. For details, visit osfhealthcare.org.
For the past 50 years, the dedicated team at Country Squire Cleaners has provided exceptional service at affordable rates. As a top dry cleaner in Central Illinois, they provide trusted dry cleaning and garment care. Country Squire will pick up and deliver to your home or office. And right now, Country Squire Cleaners is offering 20% off bedspreads, blankets, rugs, afghans, loose weave blankets, and down comforters. They're open Monday through Saturday. Country Squire Cleaners at countrysquirecleaners.com.
The Black Friday deals are starting now at Neverman Floor Artisans. Create the warmth in your home you've always dreamed of. Shop area rugs, hoofs, floor pillows, and more from leading designer brands at unbeatable prices. And this week, take an additional 20% off. Neverman Floor Artisans, area rugs, hoofs, floor pillows, all 20% off. And with your purchase, you'll be entered to win a huge basket or 22x34 kitchen rug. Shop local 9 miles south of Champaign off Route 45 in Tolono. Neverman Floor Artisans.com.
Drive in, drive out. Recycling's what Max is all about. You can make some cash and do your share. We make it really simple because we care. It doesn't matter, large or small. Our friendly staff will handle it all. Starting it over is what we do.
lift. The versatile Kubota BX Series subcompact tractor does it all. Switching attachments is simple, and a smooth hydrostatic transmission makes for easy operation. The Kubota BX Series, the number one selling subcompact tractor in the U.S. for over 10 years. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo.
Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Berkey's, your local Kubota dealer at 2202 South High Cross Road in Urbana.
This football season, make sure you rush into Dick Van Dyke Appliance World like a middle linebacker who got the blitz signal. They have a brand new showroom ready to knock your cleats off. The remodel has customers buzzing. The selection is off the charts with plenty of in-stock appliances to choose from. Also, check out the new wall mural starring Dennis and your favorite local All-American linebacker. Dick Van Dyke is now offering financing that's interest-free until January 2023. Stop in the store or start your appliance shopping now at appliance-world.com.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Gold Jr. Catch Lonte and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lonte, Trevor Valise, wrapping up today's show, and we thought we would do that by letting you listen to Illinois football coach Brett Bielema, of course, still isolated, still at his undisclosed location somewhere around Champaign-Urbana, we think. But obviously, Coach Bielema trying to hopefully get back for the game against Northwestern. I'm sure that wasn't easy, just sitting there watching his squad play Iowa. But Coach had a chance, along with Tony Peterson and Ryan Walters today, to visit with the media. We're going to let you hear a lot of what Coach Bielema said, as it is game week for a trophy game. Northwestern in town this coming Saturday, final game of the year. Illinois, a lot would have to happen, but could still make a bowl game, but they have to win Saturday against Northwestern. Here is Illini football coach Brett Bielema.
We're very proud of our coaches, our players, not just the way they showed up on Saturday, but the way they handled the week. I thought they handled that moment very well. One surprise, to be honest, but wanted to kind of see it play out real time. And by no means am I happy that we walked out of there without the win. I'm just saying that I thought the preparation and the reflection of that and the performance at the start of the game really reflected on how they prepared. So was excited about that. From a player standpoint, coaches, I thought George McDonald was outstanding. Even his postgame presser, just really impressed. Not surprised, but just, again, another great indication of where we're going, what we're doing. But I did tell our guys last night, I met with the team via Zoom last night, and listen, I love it. You played hard. You were competitive. You did a lot of really good things. The film shows that. But we aren't doing enough good things, enough in all three phases to win. And we're not into participation ribbons or anything like that. We're into winning games, unfortunately, weren't able to do that. And I don't want us to feel rewarded or comfortable knowing that we played hard and competed hard and we're physical. That's the standard, not the expectation. So give credit to Iowa. I thought they obviously played a four-quarter game, were able to win in the end. Definitely some correctable moments for us. Really, the only time I got frustrated that if I felt I was there, wasn't anything from an X's and O's or plays. It was I could see it getting chippy. I could see it getting volatile. I could see it certain things during the course of the game. I was frustrated when the TV segment would come back and the balls were moved. So I knew there had been a penalty. I didn't know what had kind of transpired. So as a head coach, that's one thing I've really learned in my 13 years is you see things come before they're in front of you. You can feel them coming. And I could see the chippiness happen. I kind of warned my staff on Saturday before Saturday that just keep guarded on their positional groups. I thought John Marinelli and Coach Ryan did an awesome job kind of handling my headset and coaches did as well. But I just felt that it was obvious the refs couldn't handle the moment, allowed it to get to that level. So I really, that was the only time I overly got frustrated. But it is what it is. We'll move forward. Have an unbelievable opportunity this week for a bunch of seniors that came back, super seniors, a group of seniors that has some decisions to make and a group of players that have battled extremely hard to get where we're at. So a really special week this week with a trophy game playing Northwestern, everything that goes into that. And then obviously Thanksgiving week, I hope to return to the building Friday at the latest. Still kind of a work in progress. I feel great other than just being in the same damn room all the time. The play of our guys uplifted me a little bit and get to dive into the film afterwards. And really, other than that, special kudos to Isaiah Gay to get recognized this week as a defensive player of the week after a loss. I tell you, in my entire time as a head coach, I texted him earlier today when it was made public that, to see the improvement he's made this year as a player is probably one of the single greatest in-season improvements I've seen as a player. And that's all the credit to him. Obviously, Coach Kane and the defensive coaches to work with him. But he took the challenge. He's taken it and run. And hopefully he's going to play his best game this coming Saturday. So a lot of really a lot of players made some really good plays. I thought guys did some really good things. Unfortunately, we did enough things that took away from us winning in the end. But we'll move on and hopefully take a step forward this week. So with that, open up for questions.
Coach, I'm curious of the experience of watching a game on TV. Maybe the helplessness of not being able to do anything. Did you pace? Did you stay seated? What was that like for you?
Yeah, we may not get our deposit back on this room. I would say, I never really I watch TV copy of our opponents because I want to see the live, right? But I very seldom watch our games on TV unless my Jen puts it on late at night or sometime or back. I never watch us on TV. And I've never watched, obviously, a game as a head coach from the ability to see replay and see what actually happened. That is a very frustrating thing because even when you're on the field, you think you see things, but then to see them happen live, I know, like, if you guys remember, there was a third down play at the end of the game where we threw to Pat Bryant on the sideline over there, and he was acting like he was interfered with, and I saw the end of the play, and he really wasn't interfered with, but he did get grabbed on his route, right? And they grabbed his wrist and prevented, and that's what he was frustrated with. So that became to life right in front of me, and I'm like, I'm going nuts. My neighbors don't know I'm in here, but they may have been at that point. I think that part is really real. Like, I understand now I'm sure you guys go back and watch the TV copy a lot, even when you're at the game live or you see it up in the booth. That brings a much more detail to the game I'd really not really ever thought about, right? So that experience, Robert, was unique. I really didn't talk to anybody. I didn't communicate with anybody. So I just kind of put the bone down. I told Jen, if you need me, but we talked a couple times. But other than that, I was just going crazy walking around in here, to be quite honest. It went faster than I thought it would. You're just so in tune. You don't take a break. I was pleasantly surprised with the way that the game flowed. I really thought even at the end of half, end of game, there's some things I probably would have interjected a little quicker, a little different, but for the most part, it probably played out as though I was right there.
Brett, I got two questions. One is about Josh McCray, and I asked this knowing he's 19 years old and a true freshman, and they're going to hit adversity. But through no fault of his own, do you feel like the flu bug really just stopped the momentum that he had in the middle of the year, and it's just kind of hard to get that back immediately after you go through something like that?
Yeah, Matt, it's great. It was probably a double dip. He did get sick. He called me one day on the phone. I thought I was talking to the Predator. He's like literally his voice and everything. It was the first time, but I called home to his aunt and his coaches. And literally every year at that time of the year, he kind of gets sick. So they kind of gave me some great intel about that. But it was the first time he was at home, away from home, Jay Brinkotter, our nutritionist, she kind of made a care package for him because he was going home one day. We sent him home to not be in the building. He had a high fever and was sick. And Josh, being Josh, said to Jade, he goes, he thanked Jade, and he was very respectful and appreciative. He goes, my auntie always takes care of me. And it's kind of funny to hear and do, but like, that's him, right? Like, that was his comfort zone, right? That was his blanket. That was his that he was looking for. And as a head coach, I know you think it's crazy, right? But I believe me, I try to scheme up offense, defense, and special teams plays to help us win games. But sometimes having the right medicine and the right way of thinking and dealing with a player in that moment is everything. We took him to Minnesota, and obviously, you know, after the first or second carry, you could tell he just wasn't quite there. He was cleared, but he wasn't the Josh McCray that we saw, right? And during the bye week, before I got kicked out of the building, he had a run on Wednesday's practice where I was like, hey, zero's back, right? And played to that moment. So, yeah, and then you're right. He's got that freshman, you know, he was in game, whatever it was, game 8, 9, 10, and I think that wall had kind of jumped in front of him and gotten on his back. But, you know, I know he's got a couple NIL deals and he's got a little smile on his step. So I think he feels pretty good about himself.
My other question, Brett, was about your defensive line and interiorly. I know you're without Rod and you're without Jamal Woods and you're going up against a center that might win the Remington. Just your overall thoughts on how you guys held the fort, at least as well as they could, and maybe saw some emergence out of Virgis at defensive tackle on Saturday.
Yeah, I thought Virgis Brown really did a nice job coming in there. You know, not surprised. I thought our defense did some good things. I didn't like the fact we rushed, let him rush for over 170 yards. That's not going to, you know, we stats are for people that lose games, right? And you know, we won the yardage total, the passing total, and the yards per play, but we didn't win the scoreboard, right? So that's all that matters. I think Johnny Newton and Keith Randolph are playing at a high level. I thought Veritas came in and did some things. Calvin was in there. Tariq Barnes and Kalen Tolson continue just to impress me every outing that we're out there. Not taking anything away from anybody. You know, obviously he's a very good center and you know, quite possibly could win the Remington, but our guys hunkered down. They had their plays. We had ours. Defensively, you know, obviously, you know, to secure Ryan and get that kind of behind us, but to continue to, you know, we lose two really, really good edge players. Owen Carney and Isaiah Gay are phenomenal players that have really bought into the way we're playing things. And, you know, they've never really played like that before. Never asked, you know, and I think both of them will get their opportunity at the next level because of what we've done. But this defense, you know, and Rod Perry, hopefully will be back this week. If everything checks the box, he should be back with us. But really those three guys, for the most part are some guys that are kind of reserved roles, but you got that entire secondary back, you got linebackers back, you got a group of defensive linemen up front that are back. This is a group returning on paper that could be at an exceptional level for us in the future. And it's really fun to see them grow.
Hi, Coach. This weekend you have the opportunity to coach against Pat Fitzgerald. Again, you did against Wisconsin, now coaching against him at Illinois. Can you speak about your experience coaching against Coach Fitzgerald while he's been at Northwestern and how coaching against him kind of amplifies the rivalry?
Yeah, it amplifies the rivalry because of the great respect that I have for Pat. Obviously, saw him as a player. I saw him evolve in the coaching profession. Would bump into him on the road when I was a young assistant, he and I both, and then we ironically became head coaches in the same year. Dramatically different reasons, right? With the passing of Coach Walker when he was named, but kind of true form, right? Last week, after I was announced that I was obviously out of the game with COVID, the first coach to reach out to me early that next morning was Pat Fitzgerald. I'm not hopefully spilling the beans like Fitz, just, hey, thinking of you and wish me well. Him and actually the two firsts were him and Kirk, right? Just unbelievable dudes, unbelievable guys. Fitz and I have known each other for a long time. So there's a lot of mutual respect. And I know there was a lot said about this game probably before I came in the building, some comments that were said last year, and I nipped that in the bud. This is a game of respect for what they are, who they are. They're very hard-nosed. Kurt Anderson, their O-line coach, was with me several years at Arkansas. Know a lot of their coaches through previous relationships. So, we know we're going to get a Big Ten West, tough, hard-nosed four-quarter football game. That's the last of the regular season for both of us. Our seniors will get recognized. There'll be a lot of emotion before the game, but their seniors will be playing their last game as well. So just a lot of different factors, but all of them out of respect.
Coach, can you explain your status this week? Kind of what hurdles do you need to clear to be able to be back with your team?
Yeah, Bob. I think I'm clear for Friday for sure. Maybe hopefully before that. You know, believe me, I I wish it could be today. It won't be. Just following all the protocols that have been in place. I want to make sure I'm good too, right? Like, I have questions every day. I really have no symptoms. The only symptoms I've ever really had is just at times I'll get a little overly nasal congestion, and I don't know if that's where I'm staying. It kind of comes and goes during the course of the day, but really it felt fine since the day that I tested positive to where we are now. Give a lot of credit to our medical staff. So when I get in the building, it's going to kind of, the hay's going to be in the barn already. By Wednesday afternoon, we don't have school this week, so we kind of adjusted our practices to a little bit later in the day this week. We'll go a little bit later on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday morning. We'll have an early morning practice, and then we have a travel meeting about 11:30. Hopefully I'll be able to be in the building, and then we actually have a Thanksgiving dinner. One of the things I've never done here before is provide a meal for our players that are here, and everybody's away from home. So I think we got about 115 on our roster. 90 of them have RSVP'd. We'll eat dinner with us on Thursday afternoon in the stadium. We got a special meal provided for them, and then anybody that couldn't make it home. So, but I'm looking forward to a lot of things, but I haven't seen my girls for a long time. So that's what I'm probably looking for more than anything.
Hey, Brett, well, that must be tough, man. I wanted to ask you about kickoff returns, because you'd only had five against you before that. How big a role does that play in that happening, just because you don't get a lot of reps during the season? And do you think kickoffs are kind of on the way out?
Yeah. You know, obviously James has been exceptional and special in that regard. I'm actually kind of in a conversation with just the makeup of that. James, you know, it was pretty clear, nice day. I wasn't there. I was kind of surprised those balls were ending short. I know he had some questions about the balls themselves. So there's some things I'm going through right now, literally with that. But, you know, Friday night, I always kind of give my thoughts on how the game's going to play out and what's going to happen. And I actually started the meeting with Charlie Jones as a punt returner, kick returner. I said, hey, special teams, you've been great all year, but this is it. I'm going to tell you now, if we're playing well on defense and doing what we're supposed to do, but doing on offense, they're going to turn to this phase of their game to try and change the game. Unfortunately, I wish I wasn't as correct as it was. That was a game-changing moment. And the ability to respond to that, we didn't quite get back on top of right away. The other thing too, like, you know, we had some guys that got eliminated. You know, Prather Hudson couldn't make the trip last week, right on the day of the game. Taylon Letzke gets taken out. So those are two of our most significant special teams players. And unfortunately, when we're dealing with a roster that we are right now, when we lose significant players in those roles and those positions, that's very, very difficult to overcome. And it's another great example of how we're building this roster. I couldn't tell you how excited I am. Those guys will be back with us right away now this week. So to kind of get back full strength has been probably one of the more exciting things for this week more than anything. I don't think we're going to have anybody as of right now. And I think we're getting healthier overall in the flu bug and definitely in the COVID world. So it's definitely a step in the right direction. But KOR, you can see it can change the course of a game literally overnight.
And then obviously, I don't know if anybody expects this kind of improvement from one side of the ball in a year like the defense has made, but what do you think has kept the offense from taking at least a small step forward here in recent weeks? Because it feels like the beginning of the game got better, but just overall, what do you think is kind of holding that group back?
Yeah, Jeremy, I think it's kind of a microcosm of our season, right? There's times where we play, a 58 minutes out of a 60-minute game very, very well as a group, right, as a team. So our team is made up of positions, units, and then obviously the team. Position groups got to play better consistently, and then units have to play consistently for four quarters. And that's – I said this – I actually ironically say this when I hire coaches, right? One of the greatest attributes you can bring to my staff is consistency. I can deal with strengths, I can deal with weaknesses, but I can't deal with this, right? Like, I don't know how to handle one day you're here, one day you're there. And the same could be said, I think, offensively. We look really good at times. We do some things that are very, very exciting. I think you take that opening drive. We overcame a third and one flinch, right, to go to a third and six and execute, which is overcoming penalties, which is not an easy thing to do. I saw BP have a motion when a receiver put up a one hand instead of two hands. I just saw so many things that get you excited about where we can go. And offensively, that's the number one thing is just consistency. And you know, I'm kind of like everybody else in this world. If I see you do it once, I expect you to do it every time. And that's our responsibility as coaches to hold that standard. So in one word, consistency.
Hey, Brett, I know you talked a lot about Isaiah Gay, but I mean, you had a guy who obviously was benched early on, and for him to turn this corner, I mean, it seems like it could have gone the other way for a fifth-year guy who had done things, you know, one way for so long. How did he turn into this kind of stretch of football he's playing?
You know, from a head coach's point of view, I just see the production, I see the effort, I see the trust. You know, there's a lot of times where I had some one-on-one conversations that were fun, and some were very fun, right? I'm a big believer in praising loudly and criticize softly. I definitely appointed his play out both positively and negatively at times in the team meeting environment. And fortunately for us, in the last 6 weeks, it's been a lot of positives. I just know this. Isaiah is extremely intelligent. He's extremely gifted athletically. His football IQ awareness and ability to see things and understand it as a really high level. Like, he's extremely intelligent football player. And I don't know if he's ever been challenged to put all those things in play together at the same time. There's a couple plays in a Minnesota game where he takes people that are literally probably almost 2.5 times his size and power, and literally just plays with extension and annihilates them. And it really speaks volumes about what he is. And it's probably a better question for him, but from a coaching perspective, I know those things don't just happen by chance. You don't luck into playing as well as he's played as many weeks in a row. He's made a conscientious effort to play a certain way, and he's gonna get rewarded for that in a big way.
And we know when you got hired, you were pretty over the moon about the staff that you put together. But to see them get through last week in the way that they did, I would assume at times it felt like a long week. I know the outcome wasn't what you wanted, but how much does that solidify where you were back in December, January, when you filled out this staff, and to see them kind of get through that now?
Yeah. Well, it is. It's fulfilling, but it's also, I was pissed. I was pretty pissed Saturday night, like then, and Sunday and today and now. It's rewarding that I think we're on the right path. It's just also very frustrating that we're not where I want to be yet. But I understand that's why we got to do things, right? So I'm not oblivious that we've made a lot of great strides, and I know what they wanted. I mean, it was hard for them. It was really hard for me. I know they could feel it through my voice. I got, as you can tell, I get emotional at times. I got emotional with them, and I think they felt it. I think we're on the right path. I know this. Nobody in this conference wants to play us right now. I'd be shocked, you know what I mean, if anybody would like to say, hey, let's start a round-robin tournament. Who wants to play Illinois right now? Which is great. But at some point, you know, that has to turn into, that's because they know we can beat them, right? Not just play hard and make it tough. We're gonna line up and play. We got to get offensively, get consistently for four quarters. We got to get more consistent production and play out of the run game, balanced with the passing game. We definitely, as a group, have to eliminate the things that stop you from losing, which is, you know, this last game, we're one of the top, I believe we were top 15 in the country and least penalized, and we had 10 on Saturday, which is unacceptable. And that those are great conversations for me to build upon for the fall or for the future.
And that is Brett Bielema as Illinois gets ready to face Northwestern. Of course, it'll be Bielema's first game against Northwestern as Illinois football coach, but obviously played the Cats when he was part of Wisconsin. So Brett Bielema, Illinois, getting ready for that. The other Illinois program, basketball, is in action right now, as you know, battling Cincinnati in this Hall of Fame classic. Derek Piper down there. We'll hopefully hear from him tomorrow. Of course, Illinois, if they win, they'd play in the championship game, probably against Arkansas, who will play Kansas State tonight as well. But until then, we'll just kind of recap the Cincinnati-Illinois game, get you ready for whoever Illinois is going to be playing tomorrow night. We'll do all of that tomorrow. Everybody have a great night. Go Illini, as they say, huh? Why not? You guys have a great night. It is The Drive.